This is Will's Band of the Week for October 5th, 2014. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hello, everybody.
You're trying out a new chair position.
Got a new chair position? This is Chris's chair, but I moved it into where I usually sit.
Yeah.
So it's kind of jarring. You know, I'm used to seeing something out of the left corner of my eye.
Right.
Over there. Either Chris or his empty chair. But now, looks kind of bare in that little corner.
Yeah, it does.
So, if we seem kind of off our game, it's because we're a little distracted. And I think by the second half of the show, we'll be fully adjusted.
Back to normal, hopefully not showing any signs of this disturbing change. You know, the drummer could go in that corner when we have the live band in the studio.
He could. That's a good point.
Yep.
Or if we took the door off of the studio executive washroom there.
Yeah.
Maybe the drummer could set up in there. Well, what would that do for the sound? That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I think the bathroom needs a big guitar amp in there. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah.
The bass could go in there because then it would reverberate all around.
All right. Yeah, you're more
it
the...
It would shake the walls.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll do. Yeah, we need to do that, right?
Yes.
So we could do that because you and Chris can both play a little bit of guitar, right? And if you can like keep a beat going, get some kind of cool riffs going, right?
Yeah.
And I could play the drums and pound it. You know, we could get Grant to play bass for us. Or actually, what would be better would be if Grant played the drums and then I'll play the bass and you guys play guitars. That would be that house band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. Look forward to that in a future episode. Next time Chris shows up, we'll just say, hey, Chris, we're playing with the live band this week. Right. I'll say, Chris, bring your guitar. Yeah.
Yep.
Got to mix things up somehow to get Chris back here sometime.
We do.
Yep.
Right now, I know he's probably watching football, which
probably
I was doing until recently, and everything came out the way we wanted it to today.
Yep.
The Bears and the Lions lost, and I'm not sure what else we really want to happen.
Yeah.
I guess we want Seattle and San Francisco and some of the other good teams to lose.
You know, we want the Packers to win and every other team to lose.
Right.
Except that's not mathematically possible, unfortunately.
Right.
Only half the teams can lose.
So the best you can do is to hope all of the lesser teams beat all the better teams.
Yeah.
So everybody moves closer to mediocrity while the Packers...
Right. You could have, like, the whole league...
Rise to the top.
The whole league can end up at 500.
Right.
Except for the Packers. No, you need one team.
Somebody would have to lose all their games.
Right. You have one team that's like 0-16. Everybody else 500, and then the Packers 16.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool if a season came out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be great. They talk about parity except for one.
Except right.
For one team clearly above. Yeah. Well, the college football didn't come out very well this week.
No, it looks like everybody...
The Wisconsin losing and the Big Ten being kind of mediocre. Yeah.
Well.
We can't claim dominance as a Big Ten anymore.
We're academically superior.
Yeah, let's just find something else to be superior about if we can't win at football. Yeah.
The SEC doesn't have schools with the same, academics. Or what about like the color of the trees changing color in the fall? We've got them beat on that for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
And, hockey.
They don't have hockey, right?
We
can beat most of them in basketball.
Basketball?
Yeah. Our women's volleyball completely dominates them.
Totally.
Yep.
Cross country, we're better than they are, right?
Yep.
Lots of things.
Yeah. Yeah. So football we'll just kind of brush aside for the moment.
Right.
Hopefully we'll be back someday. Yeah. So, let's see. What's going on this week anyway? Any music news?
There wasn't much
music news kind of week, really.
There's something I wanted to bring up last week, but I didn't. because I forgot, and that's Tom York's new album.
Yeah.
Which I heard was just released on, what did they say?
BitTorrent.
Like, BitTorrent. Yeah. So I was going to have somebody explain to me what that means in practical terms.
Yeah.
Do you know?
We would need Grant for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Some kind of download scheme. Scheme's not the right word. A download format. And then somehow this is what Grant told me. There's some code embedded in the download that allows you to like open the file or something. And I heard one song off it and I just can't get excited about it. You know, it sounds like more of the, clicky percussion, like Atoms for Peace and that stuff.
Right.
I just don't really like the direction that he's been going. And it makes me think the same thing about Radiohead. Now, maybe they'll really surprise me and they'll come back with do an actual guitar album again, but I'm not sure. It just seems like they're like playing around on laptops a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So it's the kind of, I haven't listened to it, but the way you describe it sounds like he could have just came in with nothing on a Friday and wrapped it up on a Sunday. Like there's a whole album based on little clicky beats and goofy stuff. Yeah.
But I think with the, his clicky beat thing, he still does like put a lot of time and effort into most of that stuff. It's just, I think it's just not really my thing.
Right.
I'd rather have him get a real drummer in there and do a little bit of rocking. Because that's, I'm a rocker.
Right.
Aging rocker, but, still rocker.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
I have one thing. Oh, I forgot about this. Look what I brought. I alluded to this last week. Got some coasters.
You got Tweety coasters.
Yes. So I didn't have anything to put my coffee on. Usually I put it on like a sticky note, like a post-it. But now we've got these. I'll keep these here in the studio.
That is super cool.
For future reference. Yeah.
Wow.
See, one side has a picture of him this is the album cover, as a little kid.
Yep.
And then the second side looks like a label on a record. So.
Yeah. Why didn't somebody think of that before? They probably have, but that's pretty cool.
All right. He moved his coffee over from the ceramic coaster to the Tweety coaster now.
So yeah. A true rocker does that.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to the music, we were going to give a running update, right? Every week, we need to go completely off topic with something. So this week, Barrett came over in his running clothes. Like, you look like you're ready to go do a nice long run.
Yep, I'm going to do a long one after this.
And are you running a marathon like in a week or two? Next week is in Chicago?
Yep.
Cool. That is awesome.
Yeah. So this is my last long run. It's 12 miles. I mean, it's tapering down.
12 miles is short for
12 miles is short now, which is, several years ago, if somebody had told me that, I might not have believed it. But and then after this, I'm just kind of, a few miles, a few different days, and then it's go time.
Have you run Chicago before?
No.
You'll love it. I mean, I ran it 15 years ago, but it's probably still the same general course, I would think.
Yeah, it goes up north and then down south and then jogs over to the west a little bit and then back, ends up at Grant Park or maybe Jackson Park.
Ends at Grant Park, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it starts and finishes at Grant Park. Yeah, very cool. Those are the good old days.
Yep.
I could run marathons. I ran 11 miles today, and it felt really long to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... Yeah. don't. 12 miles, I mean, because it's a smaller number than I've been running, you kind of go out there like, this is nothing. And then I think to myself, wait a minute, I'm going to be doing this still for a couple hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't have any false, sense of ease about this. It's kind of tough, but...
So how long typically do you run for your longest training run for a marathon?
Well, I've only done, this is my fourth one. And for three of them, I think I topped out at 22 miles. And I did one where I ran the full distance, but this one was 22.
Sounds about right.
If you can get that far, you're not going to stop. You're just going to keep going. So
yeah. When you hit 24, 25, you might be in a world of hurt, but you'll make it.
Right.
But I remember you saying the Detroit one you were talking about, and you said that you actually felt pretty good for the whole thing.
I did feel pretty good for the whole thing. And the same with the second one in Minneapolis felt great. Had fun the whole time. But the last time, I really, really had a tough time.
Which one was that?
That was in New York.
Oh, and, yeah.
The day before, I had spent, you know, my mom came out there with me, which is really nice to have some, you know, family member out there to watch and hang out and stuff. But on Saturday, we ended up, you know, I walked to the convention center to pick up my stuff, my race stuff. And then I walked all the way down and went to where my mom was. We just walked really for about, how many hours? It was like 7 hours of walking. And so the next day, you know, I felt pretty good. You know, in the beginning, you know, everything's great. But later on, I think I was paying for all that walking I did because it was miserable. It was just, I didn't have any fun at all. You know, so I'm like running up to Central Park and through Central Park. And that should be this like, wow, this is so fun, you know, moment where you're just reveling and being almost finished and stuff. But it was just a slog. I felt like shit.
Yeah.
So I want to be happy doing it. That's why I do these, because it makes me happy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, good luck. That's exciting.
Yep.
At some point, I'm going to go back and run another half marathon.
You should do the one in Door County, which is in May.
Yeah, I've heard about that one. I knew somebody whose son won it. Pretty sure he won it. And he was telling me about it. And he said it seemed like a really cool run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Madison's got good ones, too.
Did you do the Door County one once?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Did Chris do that?
Chris did the one, he did the Haunted Hustle.
Oh, right,
in
right.
Middleton.
Right, he had the wacky Chris story about going to get a McDonald's cheeseburger or something like that.
Yeah. That one's supposed to be good, too.
Yeah, I did that one. I did that half marathon like 3 years ago.
Did you have a costume on?
No.
What is the costume versus regular clothes ratio?
It's probably, you know, no, it's not like everybody's wearing a costume. You know, 40% costumes, maybe.
Okay.
It's a pretty fair number, but it's not like you feel like you need to have a costume on.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I think in all three of the races I did, there was somebody wearing a banana costume. Is there a thing about that? Is it like a...
I don't know.
I don't think it was the same person.
I was running in our common course that I'm sure you've run a lot too, mm-hmm. around Lake Wingra.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really popular course for 10K runs because it's basically a 10K around that course, just kind of a natural 10K. So there are probably, what, 20 10K races on that course a year?
Yeah, probably.
I would think, you know, a lot of them.
There's always signs up.
Yeah. Well, anyway, last week they're doing that zoo run,
mm-hmm.
the one that's a benefit for the zoo. There's also a zoo right along that course. And so I happened to be running at the same time, and I was running in the opposite direction. You ever do that? It's kind of fun, like when there's a running race going on, and you're just, it's, you know, going the opposite way. And,
right.
But a polar bear ran by.
Oh, wow. Well,
that's... a guy in a polar bear costume, and I was thinking, boy, that looks like that would get kind of hot.
It would.
Do that for the whole thing.
Man.
But it's kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
So... yeah, especially if you're a polar bear, you'd get really hot because you're accustomed to like 30 below
zero.
Right. Yeah.
Do you think the polar bears? Well, they probably couldn't see him. They're in their habitat.
Yeah, probably.
But
he could have gone.
They
in
could
like,
have. It would have been maybe really inspiring. Like, yeah, wow.
Right.
Look at how we hold up against these humans. Not too bad.
He could have like jumped into the cage with them and just like tried to play with them. Right. Didn't somebody do that?
Like, they did, yeah.
A couple months ago, some woman jumped in, and it was like people were thinking, like, was this woman on drugs or something? And
right.
That was the speculation. There's a little drum solo now.
There is.
Grant's practicing some drums down there. Yeah.
But remember back in the... I feel like I mentioned this already on the podcast. Or maybe I just told somebody about it at work. But back around in the late 80s, somebody wandered in to the polar bear habitat, and there was a bear called Chief there. And this person was not entirely sane. And either the police or the, you know, people at the zoo felt there was no choice but to to kill the bear. I'm imagining that must have been the police. I don't think the zookeepers have guns. Or wait, do they? I don't know.
You'd think they might have tranquilizer guns. I don't know.
Right, that's what you would think. Like, why not do that? But I guess that's not instantaneous enough. You know, if I'm standing next to, like, if you're a polar bear and they're going to shoot you with a tranquilizer dart, I don't think I would want that, because you're just going to get mad. Even if you only have, like, 2 seconds.
You'd have enough time to just
maul
the person in anger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just one swat. One swat with that big paw that's, like, bigger than your face.
Yeah. Those are big.
So, yeah, they killed it.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. But,
all right. Well, you did bring Tweety coasters over here, so I guess we should talk about the Tweety album, right?
Sure.
And that's a band named after Jeff Tweety and his son Spencer, who's the drummer in the band.
Mm-hmm.
So seems like it was a fun thing for them because they've been playing music, you know, in their own. I'm sure they have a rock and roll basement because you have to have a rock and roll basement, right? So they've been doing that for, I guess, a long time.
Right.
And now Spencer Tweety is good enough that Jeff thought, hey, let's do a thing, a project.
Right.
And these Wilco guys, I mean, that band tours so much, but Tweety's not the only guy that has, like, side projects. They do a lot of stuff, right?
Right.
So I'm sure they probably don't mind, you know? It's just, like, another thing. He seems to be tireless, though, doesn't he? Jeff
yes.
Tweety seems like... the amount that Wilco tours, and then he's done just solo shows quite a bit before, and now he's got another project.
Right.
It's like, I hope he really likes playing live. I think he does. I get the feeling that he does.
Pretty much have to.
Yeah.
Have to like it.
Yep. And traveling. Gotta like traveling.
Right. You know, it's always, I have no idea, like, what kind of a financial situation somebody like Jeff Tweedy's in. He's got to be just fine. Like, he wouldn't have to keep touring all the
time. Yeah, I think he's doing pretty well. He's one of those rare cases of an indie rocker who probably has a pretty decent amount of money.
Right. So, yeah, he's, you know, like a newer band with young guys that aren't making any money. I can understand how they'd always have to be out on the road, but, you know, I guess he must just like it. It's like Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan has been constantly touring for years. Did you know this? He's never not on tour.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I read this about Avi Buffalo, who we talked about a week or two ago, and I had his name wrong. His name is Avi Zehner Eisenberg, and I think I called him Avi Zehner Rosenberg.
I see.
So we don't tolerate incorrectness on this podcast.
No, nope, we've got to go back and...
Yeah. Oh, one other correction. I said the Ravenettes played no songs from the Raven in the Grave album, and that was wrong. They played one, and it was a good one.
Okay.
But sometimes, you know, one, you're like, you don't, like, catch that one that they play.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, now.
I have a bit of a correction to make, too, and that's on my review of Ryan Adams.
That's right. You
gave it
telling us about
it. Straight up thumbs down.
And you wanted to update that.
Yep. I moved that. I altered that to a grade of, I think, 7.4. Is that right?
I think you said 7.4.
Right.
Yes, that was the update.
Which is, that's a thumb up. So.
So, despite the slick production, it won you over sufficiently.
Yes. I think I was just listening to it at the wrong times, you know, like on a sunny day when you're out going for a run. That's not the right time.
No.
But when you're kind of at home doing some work on a computer by yourself and it's just kind of a lazy day. You're feeling kind of, you know, mellow, melancholy. That's when you need it. That was great. I liked it in that setting. So there's your update. I have finally made a mistake on the podcast.
Boy, eventually everything happens.
Yeah.
Even Barrett makes a mistake. I was kind of hoping we could go the life of the podcast and you wouldn't make a mistake. Now the streak is over. Now you got to start a new streak.
Yeah.
This week you won't make any mistakes. And it'll be the start of a new streak, right? Oh, the Avi Buffalo thing then was that they had a pretty successful first album and they toured a fair amount, but then he decided that he just didn't like just touring all the time and he just, like, it wasn't the life that he wanted. So he just said, I'm not doing it anymore. So, you know, and then it took him like 3 more years at least to put out a second album. And so they're probably going to tour, but not a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And, which only thing is it makes it less likely that we will get to see them, but that's all right.
I would not miss Avi Buffalo and Madison. That's something I would go see for sure.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. Avi, think about coming to Madison.
Or as an alternate, if you wanted to do the, what was the name of our music fest we're having at the Indy 500?
Oh.
It was called the Indy 500.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Indy Coffee.
Mm-hmm. And we know it's no conflict because it would be spelled differently.
Right.
And we're going to have 500 bands. Right. What did we figure? Like 12 stages? You would need 40-some bands on each stage.
Right. So we're looking at least for 3 days.
3 days.
You might want to have it be one of those week-long, like, music festival and camping festival.
Yeah, maybe we need 20 stages. That would make it more easier to get 500 bands.
Part of the 500 can also be concessions. How about we say that?
Okay. So, like each...
instead of a band, we can have somebody selling funnel cakes.
Yeah,
instead of one band, we can have somebody else.
All right,
with carnival games.
We can be loose on the calculation of the 500.
Right,
like if we have 100 different tap beers, I can count as 100.
Right, which
we would.
That's a good idea.
Right,
if we tie this in with a beer festival.
Yeah.
Wait, why hasn't anybody done that? They have this big beer festival in Madison, right, and it's wildly successful.
Yeah.
They could sell way more tickets and have this over 2 days if they wanted to. Why not have those same people with the beer, right? But then surrounded with a real music festival.
Yeah.
With 500 bands.
That'd be good.
Or 400 because of the beers.
Right. We're definitely on to something here.
We've got that guy that listens in California that he actually has a music festival. So
he had real estate play there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's super cool.
So he could probably give us some pointers and... put us in touch with the people we need to talk to.
Right.
So
I would think that most bands that we would want probably just one email or phone call and say, you know, can you make it? And they'd say, sure.
Right.
Because they wouldn't mess around with the contracts and the lawyers and all that stuff.
No,
they'd just be like,
yeah,
no.
That's not in the spirit of
right.
this thing.
Will's Band of the Week is asking us. We'll be there.
Right.
I think that's probably the spirit it would be taken in.
It's like,
yep.
They do their job for free. We'll return the favor and play right. for free.
Right. Yep.
But that's not to say that there's not going to be an entrance fee. We'd have to have that.
Yeah, we would.
Just to offset our insurance costs and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
But it would be reasonable. No more than like $50 a day.
Yeah, right.
$75 for a 2-day pass.
As long as you and I each get guaranteed 6 figures. After that, we wouldn't really get greedy or anything.
No. Is that six figures like before the decimal or including the pennies?
No, this would be before the decimal.
Whoa.
Because
that
way it could be our full-time job.
Right.
And it would be great because it would be a full-time job with just making a few phone calls.
Right.
You know, it would work out well for us.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to assert yourself a little bit, you know?
Right.
That's what we need to do. Okay, back to this Tweety album. So I guess we should play some of it, and then we can talk about it, right? Do you have a pick?
Yeah. Hold on. I've got it on my notes on my phone. All right. I'm going to pick a song called Diamond Light Part 1.
Yeah.
Tweety.
Yep.
Yep.
I chose that one because I'd listened to saw on YouTube an interview with Jeff Tweedy and his son, and the interviewer asked what was his favorite song or what one was he most proud of, and he chose this one. Jeff did. First of all, it's got a pretty cool little drum thing going on that his son plays.
Yeah, definitely.
And he says that more so than any song he's written for this, and really including much of anything else he's written at all, this one is less tied to like traditional song structures and things. So he felt like he kind of took everything he knew about how to put a song together, threw it out the window, and did this one. So he liked it, and I like it.
Yeah, cool. So this album has 20 songs on it, and I did hear him ask about that too. Why'd you put 20 songs on the album? You know what he said?
What did he say?
They wanted to tour, and they wanted to have enough songs. So
there's one thing.
They figured if they had a 10-song album, you know, they could just play the whole thing, and it'd be like 40 minutes, it'd be see you later. So they just wanted to have more. And, you know, I guess he can just write songs like crazy, so they just...
I want to say also in that same interview that, didn't he say they recorded like 100 songs? Something just...
I don't remember that.
Maybe it was a different one. Like, maybe it wasn't 100, maybe it was 80, but it was not... You know, I was way more than twice what they ended up with. Some of them must be like
crazy.
Guided by voices, like little tiny little
like
ideas that they just kind
things.
Of, yeah.
You'd think so.
Because that's a lot
wow.
of songs.
Yeah, it sure is. Yep.
So
generally, for being a 20-song album, I think it's you can always say, yeah, I was actually thinking I could make a 10 or 12 song playlist out of this. It would be kind of pared down to the better stuff. But, you know, one thing I can say for it is that I think that definitely the second half is just as strong as the first mm-hmm. in the sequencing, I thought. I'll pick one. I'm going to pick the one that I think is the most just like catchy, poppy one. It's called Summer Noon.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
Doesn't it kind of sound like it could have been on a Wilco album like 15 years ago or something?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of this does. It's not like he's breaking new ground necessarily, but he's a good songwriter and it's pretty solid, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm gonna pick for my next one, one called Fake Fur Coat, and this one's a little more spare than a lot of Wilco stuff, and I think it's a nice one.
in the sun. Cold as my own heart, blind at the edge of no return. Every time we did depart. The end of July in a fake fur coat, hoping that your heart still needs me. I can see there's beauty in bubblegum. I'm rolling up my sleeves to advertise the new freedom. I accept I can't. Behold the gift of the distant sun, the canyons full of loose bones, the nettles and the brambles and the jackbitch boss thundering down from.
That one almost sounds more like an Uncle Tupelo song.
Yep, and another example, we're talking about the Karen O album being better than the standard singer-songwriter. Mm-hmm. That's like top-notch for your basic guy and a guitar, right?
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm gonna cede the floor to you.
I think you're basically saying that you agree with what I said.
Yes, I agree.
And that's, you should agree with what I said.
I always do.
Yeah, that's good. You've learned. Yeah.
So
we haven't mentioned that this album is called Suki Ray,
mm-hmm.
and that's his wife's nickname, Jeff Tweedy's wife.
Yes.
Named after his wife, who apparently has cancer.
Right.
And is undergoing treatment. And last thing I heard was she was doing pretty well. So that was really good to hear.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Yep. So we'll hope that continues. That's got to be weird though when, if she's ill and they're like out on the road, right?
Right.
That'd be weird. Maybe that's just sort of a thing, like, I'm sure that's how their relationship has been for years, right?
Right.
He's been on the road all the time.
Right.
So they're probably, I would imagine, are like little sections of tours that she'll join him, but she can't just tour with him all the time,
that's
I wouldn't
true.
Think.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, they met, she was the owner of Lounge Axe. I don't know if you knew that. You know that venue in, was on Lincoln Avenue, like Lincoln and Fullerton in Chicago?
I think I read that.
Yeah. And
not familiar with the venue though.
Yeah, it was a really, really great place. Well, the bands, a lot of great bands that played there, so I have good memories of that. But as far as an actual place, it wasn't my favorite. It was one of these really narrow things.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have a pretty small crowd and you're still like way in the back.
Yeah.
But
yep.
So, you know, it's not like she met him as a grad student and then all of a sudden, he decides he wants to be in a band. And he's on the road all the time. And she
right.
she signed up for the life of living with a rock and
a
roller.
Rocker. Yep.
As our wives have.
Yeah, they know that we're rockers.
Yeah.
And sometimes we will be recording a podcast.
Right.
Or giving critical listening to an album that we do not need to be, can't be disturbed, right?
That's right.
Sorry, I'm listening to track 7 of the new Tweedy album, I Can't Be Disturbed Right Now.
Right.
Because that's the precision with which we, you know, listen to music, right?
Right.
Like, there's not a single note that goes past us. Because then we could miss an insightful remark.
Right.
Or an observation. If
right.
we, missed, like, a 5-second segment.
You got to know everything about what you're talking about, for sure.
Yep.
And, you know, what we do isn't, maybe it's not equivalent to, like, Jeff Tweedy and the band going on a tour of Australia or something. Maybe, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's a Sunday afternoon. I say to the wife, I'm going to be gone for like an hour and 15 minutes. You know, that's a tough thing to put your partner through.
It is, yeah.
On a weekly basis.
But she signed up for a life with a rocker, you know, and that's just what it is.
She did.
I'm sure you were a rocker back when you got married, too.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, for sure.
Total rocker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, it's a 20-song album, so that means we can play one more, right? We could play one more no matter what. We could play, if it was a 5-song album, we could still play 4 because we make our own rules.
We can say, let's play the one that I played first and play it 5 more times.
We could do that, yeah. We could say, we think this song is so good, we're going to play it again. But I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna play another different song. I'm going to play a track called Wait for Love.
Honey, I'm worried the fire's cold and tired. Souls have lost their way. Stay home and find the sun.
Doesn't have Nels Klein, so he has to do a whistle solo,
right,
instead of a crazy guitar solo.
Speaking of the lack of Nels Klein, I do like just hearing his guitar work again, which is just kind of, you know, it can be kind of sloppy and
more laid back, for sure.
Laid back, and yeah, just not, it's not, he's not a technician with a guitar, and I actually prefer that. But
yeah, so pretty fun, because I think they couldn't go back and make a Wilco album that sounded like this.
Right.
So stripped down, you know. Wilco has too many people in it who all are really creative, and so it's a different entity.
Right.
So, but I bet they'll do another album. It'll probably be decent, too. They're one of those bands that kind of has staying power. Although we've seen them now like 4 times, so the next album will have to be pretty darn good for me to go see them again, I think.
Yeah, or in a completely different kind of setting.
Yeah, yeah. I'll probably see them again, but I don't know if I'll go like every tour that they come by.
Right. You know, I think I'd see them. I'd like to see them outdoors, like in a. What if they played at the Duck Pond here in Madison?
That'd be really
good. That would be really good.
That would be good. Like they did that thing with the Flaming Lips and Garbage and whatever.
Yeah.
And I think I was out of town. It rained for that. I had some friends who went to that. But that's a thing that'd be cool.
Madison's a big Wilco town, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it sure is.
Always played here, and before they had that they went on that world tour, they played a show at the Barrymore. It's like a little, you know, warm-up. That was cool. And
yeah, the other band that plays here a lot and always does well is Yola Tango.
Yes.
So,
why is that? It's because Madison's cool, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we are. We're like Brooklyn Midwest.
Yes.
Pretty soon people will be moving to Madison to do rock and roll, right?
Absolutely.
Just because they know that's where the Will's Band of the Week podcast is produced. That'd probably be a good enough reason. All right. We've got more music. I've got a thing called King Tough. You know anything about King Tough?
Nope.
I think this is the third, either the second or third King Tough album. And it's spelled T-U-F-F. So that gives you an idea. You hear that name, and you would surmise correctly that the guy's not, like, totally serious, you know? Yeah. He's one of these guys that, I think that his music has a little bit of the Ty Segall sound. And there might even be, like, a couple of guys from Ty Segall's band, or even Ty Segall, that had something to do with the production of this album. I think there was some little tie there, and they're both California bands. And but King Tough is a little more goofy and has more blatant riffs, which I think are kind of fun. So for me, this is just one of these just kind of fun albums. Mm-hmm. So the new album by King Tough is called Black Moon Spell. So here's a song called Eyes of the Muse. King Tough.
Whoa, I like that.
His band can kind of rock.
Listen to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I really like the way it sounds. You know, it's well put together and good arrangements and stuff. Well, I'm just talking about this one song. I haven't heard any other stuff from it. But yeah, it's kind of like fun and lighthearted without being, you know, it's not like supposed to be funny. It's just kind of somehow lightly amusing.
Yeah. That's how I kind of interpreted it.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, let's play another one. See if we can go two for two on Barrett here. This is called Beautiful Thing.
Be my beautiful thing. Be my beautiful. Be my beautiful.
That was another good one. You know what that sounded to me a little bit like?
What?
It'd be like a scuffed up Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah, kind of did. Yeah. Yep. Pretty much a power pop song. Yep. We were having this, we played this game with our family the other night. It was kind of fun. We went out to eat and I said, all right, we're going to play a game. I'm going to name two bands and we're going to vote on who's better. And so it was pretty fun because we just would come up with like two, like I said, it can be anything, you know, it could be Tom Petty and Fleetwood Mac, you know, whatever.
Right.
And so we had some pretty good, of course, Grant has so many bands and he, you know, he'd have to come up with bands that most of the rest of us had heard of at least.
Right.
You know, so it was pretty fun. We had some tough decisions we had to make. I'm not going to think of any good examples right now, but you know, sometimes it's it was like a pretty easy vote too, where I was surprised, like yeah. I thought it'd be close.
If you have like the Beatles against Blues Traveler.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one. Actually, if you pick the Beatles against anybody, Grant goes against the Beatles because he's definitely got like a Beatles backlash. Like he thinks like they're way overrated.
He's young yet.
Yeah.
He'll realize that, as the most highly thought of band of all time, they are properly rated.
It'll be interesting to see what he says about that in like 20 years.
Right. So. Well, some people, you know, it's subjective. I don't.
Yeah.
That does bother me. And I do kind of want to go down into the basement and have a talk with
him. Yeah. Tell him that he doesn't know anything and he's still young and he needs to start
listening.
He's
maybe not going
to
be receptive to that right now at this age.
That's right.
But if for some reason, Grant, you find yourself listening to this podcast, I'm just going to tell you that you're wrong. You know?
Okay.
Music is a matter of taste. So there's no, you know, objective right or wrong. Except in this case.
Except what you say, because...
right, that's right.
We've established you've only been wrong once on the podcast.
That's true.
Yep. All right, let's play one more from King Tuff. This one's got kind of a goofy sound effect in it. It's called Black Holes in Stereo. So yeah, that's kind of the goofy King Tuff.
Yeah,
the goofy King Tuff.
Right.
It's a black hole in his stereo. Mm-hmm. It sucked him in, literally.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's a fun album. It's like didn't that come out in the last week or two? Right.
I think it's been out for about a month or so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Seems like that would have been a good thing to come out in the spring. So it could be a nice summertime.
Right.
Got some summer jams.
Definitely.
Cranking out of your car.
Right. Yeah, and it's pretty diverse, you know. There's a lot of different sounds on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah.
King Tuff, Black Moon Spell, it's called. Check it out. It's got a purple album cover, and it looks kind of goofy.
Yeah, it does.
You see that thing, and you're like, okay, this can't really be...
That
can't be, like, really serious, right?
Yeah, it looks like, there's a crystal ball, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
With... pair of hands on the outside, and then some
some
disembodied
eyes. Right.
And inside the crystal ball, it says King Tuff. And nowhere does it say the name of the album.
Nope.
That's unusual.
So check it out. Some California power pop, I guess. Is that what we're going to call it?
That's as good a name as any.
All right. Okay. Hey, it's good. I think it's going to feel good to stand up.
Yeah, I stood up a little early because I wanted to take a look at the album cover on the computer screen. I'm going to put Chris's chair back in place.
Have we talked
if he doesn't
about
listen to this, he'll never even know I used it.
That's right. Have we talked about this before, the idea that we could stand up like for a whole podcast and it would change the whole thing because like, we'd have a different energy?
Right.
Sometimes we should just do it. We should just say, this week we're going to stand up. Then I'll have to kind of lean down to write on the keyboard and to cue things up. But I think we could maybe do it.
That'd be kind of cool. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
How else could we really do things
just
differently?
Just mix things up. I don't know.
What if we were outside?
Yeah, that'd be cool. We've got a window right here.
We could sit on the right there very, very easily, right? Not very. It's easy for me to say. I don't have to string all the cords.
A few extension cords. Yeah, and sit right out on the porch.
That?
Yeah. Okay. Not that we need anything, because we're completely fresh every week.
Right.
But in case we ever were to need something, we could do that.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, we gave the listeners their $0 worth again. We're approaching an hour. Probably when we chop the rare mistakes out of this, it might be about, I'm going to guess, 56, 57 minutes or so.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
That's pretty good.
Probably won't hit quite an hour. So anyway, that's it. So do you think we'll talk to the listeners again next week?
I think we will.
With another edition of Will's Band of the Week?
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably will.
Let's resolve to do just that.
All right. We will. And for now, we'll say good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.